friends. It's so good to be here. Thank you for the very warm welcome. In Australia, pursuit of personal happiness is becoming all important, isn't it? Happiness linked to desires and choices, for many, a journey in search of affirmation. So in light of that story, which is a very compelling one, we're continually encouraged, aren't we, to make your mark, be unique, tell your story, be yourself. In other words, control your world and be self-sufficient, preferably without reference to anyone or any authority. In fact, culture has another story also, doesn't it? Another message that people are asked to embrace, which is essentially all forms of authority are to be rejected. In other words, individual expression and aspiration are preferable to accountability and adherence to authority in all its forms. So let me ask, what's your attitude to authority? And is there an authority that can't be built? Is there an authority that has the power to humble the proud and the arrogant? An authority that speaks meaningfully into our happiness-obsessed culture? And an authority that has the power to confront, not just confront evil and injustice and suffering, but defeat it, disarm it? And an authority, might I suggest, that has the power to create lifelong devotion, lifelong loyalty for the weak, the brokenhearted, and those looking for justice. Well, which brings me to today's theme, and I'm so glad to be asked to speak on the theme, Christ the King. Christ the King, that's what we're talking about today. We'll be asking the question, where does true authority lie? Now, in the story, and you're welcome to have your Bibles open in Luke chapter 23, we get to the heart of the matter, don't we? With the sign, this is the King of the Jews. The King of the Jews being crucified. It's intended, isn't it, as a cruel and mocking irony. Jesus claimed to be king, and yet the Jewish establishment and the Roman rulers are saying, this is what happens to anyone who challenges our authority. But then, Jesus utters these famous words, verse 34. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. This is the King of the Jews. But friends, what kind of king is he? What's going on? Well, what's going on is a great reversal. A great reversal. Make no mistake, at that moment in time, at that moment in history, what we're confronted with is how a traditional understanding of authority and power and kingship is being turned on its head. A great reversal. And it's a moment in time that impacts on three things: our understanding of forgiveness, our understanding of evil and suffering, and also a moment that holds out a future hope and promise to all who believe. Firstly, forgiveness. It's an amazing prayer, isn't it? Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Jesus, who is righteous and all-powerful, is being condemned by the unrighteous. Is Jesus praying for the Roman soldiers? Or the Jewish leaders? I think it's the Jewish leaders, because their sin is not so much a lack of knowledge, but more their
their total misunderstanding of the plans and purposes of God, and tragically, their misunderstanding of the character of God. How does God work in the world? Well, for a start, even from the cross, as the guilty pronounce judgment on the innocent, what do we see Jesus doing? We see Jesus offering up a prayer of love and forgiveness. And here, friends, we have an inkling, just a hint, that the powerful are in fact powerless to stop Almighty God. The seeming all-powerful are powerless to stop his mercy and his judgment, which sadly brings us to suffering and evil. As the Jewish leaders sneer and the Roman soldiers mock, we see neither Jews or Gentiles really understanding what they're doing when they crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. For in the Bible and in history, we see people and nations again and again and again doing what? Misusing authority. Misusing power. But we also see, as God's salvation plan unfolds, how God can use this misuse of power for his plans and purposes. Remember Joseph at the end of the book of Genesis. What does it say? Remember what it said? You intended it for evil, he said to his brothers, but God uses it for good. Jesus is sharing the place of the unrighteous. But what he is really doing is setting aside, as king, all worldly notions of authority and power and status. In innocent suffering, he's disarming evil and injustice. How? Well, ultimately, this becomes clear at the very end of the story, where we see that darkness, no matter how dark, evil, no matter how evil, cannot hold back the light. Which points us to the third part of this story, a promise and a hope. And I'll read these amazing verses again. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him, saying, don't you fear God? Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. One criminal who is guilty abuses Jesus, who is innocent. Another recognises his guilt and somehow sees in Jesus' power and authority something unique occurring. And he reaches out to him in confession, understanding that somehow an innocent sacrifice has the power to take away his guilt, but as we look back throughout history, we know, in fact, has the power to disarm all guilt and sin and evil and suffering. He calls out to Christ the King in confession and repentance. And what does he receive in return? Salvation and hope. Here we have true authority. Here we have true power. True authority, where Jesus hints at the resurrection to come, where his death is vindicated and Jesus is declared to be not just Saviour,
but established as Lord of the world, Judge and King, offering hope for all of those who place their trust in Him. Is that not amazing? Question, where does true authority lie? Answer, it lies with Jesus, the true King, Christ the King. It lies in His death and resurrection. It lies in Jesus, who is declared to be Saviour and Judge. Christ the King and His all-powerful response to a powerless and mocking world. Because only Christ the King can provide lasting forgiveness and reconciliation. Only Christ the King can confront and disarm evil and suffering. Friends, we see a world that is broken, but make no mistake, this story is profoundly good news because all nations and all people who misuse justice and authority and power will one day be held accountable. Will one day give an answer to Christ the King, the Lord of the universe, and the Judge of all things. And it is only Christ the King who can offer two choices: paradise and rest for the meek and the humble, or judgment and accountability for the mockers, the proud, the self-sufficient. Christ the King, this is where true authority lies. With Jesus and His all-powerful response to a powerless and mocking world. Well, so what? How do we think about this through the lens of discipleship and mission? Well, firstly, when it comes to discipleship, make no mistake, we live in a world where there are lots of competing stories around happiness and materialism and maximising pleasure and minimising pain and placing ourselves at the centre and being in control. All based on elevating ourselves. All based on putting ourselves first. Grasping for recognition. Longing for acceptance. But with Christ as King, we are being presented with an alternative story. In fact, it is the great story, and it is the true story. Because it begs us to tell a different story in our lives. Rather than placing ourselves at the centre, to look to Christ, who is the centre of all things. Rather than using power and speech inappropriately, to tell the story of humility and gentleness and kindness through what we say and what we do. It's a radical story that challenges all of us and changes us when we humbly come before the true King. So the question to be asked is, if Christ is the King, and He is, and this is where true authority lies, and it does, what story are we telling as a congregation? And what story are you telling? And where does your allegiance lie? But secondly, when it comes to mission, we're also being told to tell the story of Christ the King and His true authority by gently challenging alternative stories which we come across in our lives. Especially as we think about, sadly, people's often obsessive search for happiness, which so dominates our culture. Now, before going overseas, I saw the same dentist for 20 years. Now, I might say it's almost words to live by. Have a good relationship with your dentist. That's a good thing to do. The dentist was a very nice man. Even though I'm a cult supporter and he went for resident, I'll forgive him that. His wife was the receptionist, and I got on really well with her. She was chatty, I'm chatty. We talked about all kinds of things, but she would regularly say, and insert this in our conversations, as long as you're happy, that's all that matters. As long as you're happy, that's all that matters. She said it a lot. So on one occasion, I said to, I'll call her Betty, "Betty, it's nice to be happy, but is that really all that matters?"
Well, from there, Betty opened up about all of her fears, her concerns, doubts. And I listened, and after all I said, you know, Betty, your fear and pain and suffering might actually be the way that God is trying to reach out to you. It might actually be the way God is trying to speak to you. It may actually be the thing that brings real growth and change. And that's what Jesus' death on the cross is all about. Working through suffering, working through pain. Do you see? A gentle question was all that was needed for a real conversation to take place. Friends, ultimately, there is a powerful story with Christ as King. And it is a story that shows up the powerlessness of other stories. It's a big story because it makes the most sense of all of our stories, no matter who we are, no matter what culture we come from. Because it really does speak to our deepest needs for love and acceptance and forgiveness and reconciliation and where our true identity is found. Not looking inwards, but looking outwards to Christ, the King. And I'm suggesting that armed with this story and this authority that lies behind it, as we embed ourselves in our communities, in our families, in our workplaces, in our communities, in a whole network of relationships, as we embed ourselves and go on a journey with people and understand their stories, where they're looking to have needs met, what their fears are, we really will be better placed to understand how this story of Jesus, the King, connects with their story. Because it's designed to. Because it's the big story that makes the most sense of all stories. Christ the King. His all-powerful response to a powerless and mocking world. Let's live under his authority and seek to share his powerful message to a world in need. Amen.
Amen. Amen.